Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 22nd, 2015. And with me today, I have my music industry experts, my top men. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm good. I'm back from Mac Stock and Midwest Mac Barbecue, and my voice hasn't made it back yet, but I am
here.
Hopefully
it's on another flight.
I think so. I think it's in the luggage carousel, so I'll get it.
Your voice sounds better than it probably feels, Dave.
Right. No,
I
appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
And that vote of confidence you just heard for Dave's voice came from Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am a vote of confidence.
Indeed you are. And hey, we have a new sponsor this week, which is pretty awesome. Our new sponsor is Bushel. And Bushel is a really cool service that lets you manage your Apple devices. So I'll use your iPhones and iPads as an example. Let's say that you need to manage what's happening with your iPhone, your iPad, and your iPod Touch. And instead of having to go to every single device to update the apps and everything else you're going to do, why not do it from a single place? And that's what Bushel lets you do. And it's really simple to use. And setting it up is not a big deal. All the steps that you need to go through, they have detailed instructions so that even if you're not familiar with managing multiple devices like an IT manager would be, it's not a big deal. They just take you by the hand and get you through the whole process. It's really cool. I started playing with this a couple weeks ago, and the setup was easy enough that I was actually doing it while I was in the middle of listening to a presentation, which I probably shouldn't say I was listening to or not paying attention to the presentation because that's not cool to the presenter. But the point is I was actually able to get this set up and running on my devices while I was only paying half attention to what I was doing. So that was really cool. The pricing for this is really good. If you have three devices or less, it's just free. And for devices beyond that, it costs $2 a month. So you can add in your family members that may not be quite as adept as you are at managing all of these devices and do it for them. So $2 a head beyond three people. And you can try it out right now. It's easy to do. Just go to their website. It's bushel.com, and that's bushel.com, and start managing all your devices today. And thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor this week.
Yep.
Okay. It's probably going to be no surprise to any of our listeners that the thing that I'm really interested in talking about is the whole thing that happened on Sunday with Taylor Swift writing a Tumblr blog post, slamming on Apple in a nice way, but slamming on Apple for the way the royalty payments are or were going to work for Apple Music, meaning that the first 3 months, that trial period where us as subscribers don't pay anything, Apple doesn't pay anything either. So there aren't royalties going back to the record labels and artists for the music that we listen to during our free trial period. And there has been some pushback on this already. Indie labels out of the UK have already said that they didn't want to sign up because they felt...
And Germany,
that's right.
And France.
Right, see? There's a lot
pretty much all of the places except for the U.S. We didn't really hear much about indies in the U.S. at first.
So to crystallize that, Apple was offering a 3 month free trial. Their plan for the service is that it is only a for pay service.
Yes,
and they were going to offer a free trial, and that trial, instead of being 1 month as it is with lots of others, was going to be 3 months. And Apple was asking, or I guess in their contracts, was mandating that the labels would be in part footing the bill for that free trial. And I say in part because Apple would be footing it too for the bandwidth, right? I mean, there's infrastructure costs in addition to content costs, and Apple was asking the labels to be partners in that free trial, and that caused some backlash.
Well, and but there's another component too, because Apple was also offering to pay more on the back end. So once payment started up, Apple was going to be paying 1.5% extra in the U.S. and 3% extra outside the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I don't have the right math to break it down, but I think I'd rather get that extra 3% over the lifetime of a subscriber.
Yep. All day long. But these are this is a short-sighted industry. I don't blame
historically it's a short-sighted industry.
Yes. So I don't blame and to finish the story that Jeff started, Taylor Swift came out and publicly chastised Apple for this. You know, you're a progressive company and shame on you is essentially what she said.
Yes. And then several hours later, Eddie Q gets on Twitter and announces that Apple is now going to pay the royalties during that 3-month trial period.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Well, Taylor Swift was merely the biggest artist voice to come down right before Eddie made that decision. And she may well have pushed him into it. But other artists were complaining about this too. The one that was actually getting a lot of attention last week was Anton Newcombe from the Brian Jonestown Massacre. He's kind of a goofball, and he really had a lot of his facts mixed up. But he was getting cited quite a bit throughout both the music industry and in some parts of the technology blogosphere for criticizing Apple for not being willing to pay for this 3 months.
Now, since I'm not a music industry expert, nor have I played one on stage, unlike lawyers and doctors, I'm not sure how this plays out. I mean, as far as a brand new artist, let's say that you have a big hit and it's your breakout hit, and this is a song that's going to put you on the charts. How long typically is that window of time when you can expect the highest number of sales? I mean, is it limited to that 3-month window that would otherwise be free, depending on when someone signed up, or does it extend beyond that?
No, it's probably for a one hit wonder type of thing, or even a one hit type of thing. It's probably a short period of time. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but it's realistic to see that someone would say, hey, if I happen to have a hit that coincides with when someone starts their free trial, I won't get paid at all by that person. Short-sighted, but
yeah, we have the 3 months starting after June 30th. From then on, the number of people who are on that free trial will represent an increasingly small subset of users by definition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so then, because that subset is getting smaller all the time, the amount of money that musicians potentially can draw in through Apple Music will rise.
What's 3% going into 70 is what, 24? 23.5? So it takes 23.5 months before you actually start making money off this. Am I doing that right?
I don't know. I don't know what math you're doing.
I'm doing No, it'd be three times that. So it'd be 60 some odd months, 5 years. All right. So what I'm saying is that outside of the U.S., the amount of money that an artist would be making after the 3-month trial period, going to make up for those same 3 months.
Yeah, we're getting lost in the we're bearing the lead here. Because it's irrelevant now, right? The Apple's going to pay artists during the trial period, and that's great, and it's great that Taylor Swift stood up for herself, and I think in some way she was probably acting as a representative of certainly her label, you know, what's not her label, right? It's Scott Borchetta's label, Big Machine Records. But she's, you know, one of the bigger artists on that label, but not the only one, right? Tim McGraw's there and Reba McEntire's there and there's others. But it's interesting to see, because Taylor Swift doesn't need the money, right? I mean, it, you know,
right. She even said so in her piece.
Right. But the thing is, what this is the music industry having trouble accepting that the industry has changed, right? And here's the thing, the music industry has always been driven by technology. It's certainly the recorded music industry, because before there was such a thing as recorded music, being a musician was still a career. You simply only got paid when you played music for people live, because that was the only way music was conveyed, right? And then recorded music entered the realm, started by technology, right? I mean, it took a technological advancement to be able to record music and the phonograph, and then you can sell things. Okay, great. Now this industry, you know, revs up. There's this whole thing that didn't exist before, and yet being a musician was still a career before the concept of recorded music existed. And then, of course, CDs came in and changed it again, right? And in many ways for the better, because people went and rebought all their music on CD. Some could argue it got worse. Certainly initially people didn't know how to encode right for CDs, and things sounded like crap because they were all, you know, EQ'd for LPs, which kill a lot of the high end. And so CDs sounded really harsh and brash. But they figured that out. And then along came MP3s. And change things again, you know, arguably for the worse and better. But certainly in terms of sales, the MP3 and really digital format changed things almost as dramatically as the phonograph, right? And so there is this new model that exists, and the industry is so far behind accepting it. Customers don't value music the way the industry defined they needed to in the past. It's just the way it is. People say $10 a month is the right number. I don't know that that's the right number. When I was a kid, when money was worth, you know, more than it is now, I personally spent more than $10 a month on music. I probably spent about 20. You know, I'd buy a couple of albums a month, maybe, you know, 2 to 3 albums a month. That's, you know, but other people just listened to the radio and maybe got enough of their music that way, and so it was advertising supported, right? There's this whole thing, and so what needs to happen is artists need to either evolve, existing artists do, or new artists just need to find a different way other than hoping to get a record deal and be showered with money because there's this distribution channel that just siphons money out of people's pockets. That distribution channel that siphons money out of customers' pockets no longer exists. It has to be up to the customer now. And there's still plenty of money to be made touring. There's plenty of money to be made from merchandise sales. All of that stuff is still here. And yes, I hear you ranting back at me, saying, well, but there's not enough money. Touring isn't cheap. Not everybody can do that. That's fine. There's a barrier to entry now. Okay. It's how it goes.
There's always been a barrier to entry.
Right. And if, so, right, I mean, exactly.
Not every artist got signed.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And in fact, when the labels had all the power, they would often sign artists to bury them so that they could not interfere with another artist.
Absolutely.
That was a comment, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's always been a barrier. The barrier has shifted at this point.
The barrier has shifted, and there will be, there are musicians that are doing just fine. You know, one of my favorite bands is Phish. They don't make a ton of their money on album sales. They make their money touring, and they keep prices low because they know their following, and they know that their following is going to want to see, you know, 5 shows on a tour on average, whatever that number is, you know, per person, you're going to get an average of 5 shows. So we keep the price down because we're only going to get that money out of them once, but we want to keep them coming. And then they sell their live shows. Every live show is different with them. And so every night they're creating new product, and they sell them directly to customers, and they sell the shows for $10. If you want a lossless quality, you can pay a little more. And of course, not everybody buys every show. Marco Arment does, because he just subscribes and pays for all of them. But not everybody does. But that's okay. They know that they can they've created this fan base, and it's not just based on the music. It's based on the community that they've created and the stories about them, and they've really managed this well. They know what they're doing.
So they've created a product
that
is more than just a song. It's an experience, and they're selling an experience.
They've created fans, not consumers, right? I mean, it's the same thing. When you look at the bottom line, it doesn't matter what you call them, there's money coming in. And trust me, with these guys, there's lots of money coming in. But
Dave, you've got Pearl Jam and you've got Phish that have basically pursued this model.
And Metallica and, you know, the Dave Matthews Band and the Grateful Dead. And I mean, there's a huge list, and bands you haven't heard of, Galactic and String Cheese Incident. And Leftover Salmon does it. I was on the road with Hypnotic Clambake, who did it. And Hypnotic Clambake was never signed to a label, makes money still to this day doing exactly this. And you make your money on the road playing shows.
I actually meant the selling all your live shows.
Yeah? Bands do that.
Okay, all right.
This is a thing, right? I mean, this started 20 years ago, you know. So there are new models happening constantly, and I bet Phish and the Dave Matthews Band and all these other bands could care these bands that actually make their money touring could care less about what Apple's doing for 3 months. It's like, whatever. We're gonna go out on the road again and earn our money.
Well, in that sense, they're probably laughing like, hey, look, free money every time I go to the iTunes store and buy something new from Galactic.
Yeah, or stream something on Spotify from them. That's right.
Right. Yep.
That's right. But they're not making a lot from that. A few musicians are, much fewer than could make a living, and it was still few back, you know, when getting signed meant a whole lot more than it does now. So, you have to let the industry change, and it's the same thing we've seen with the music industry over and over again, and the same thing we've seen with the, you know, the movie industry. It can be argued that, look, you know, if we totally let capitalism completely control this, do we risk killing off the arts? And there, you know, that's something that resonates with me. But what do we do? You know, how do you fix that? And I'm not convinced that there's a fix. I mean, other than saying, well, the government will, you know, subsidize artists. And there's some of that, but obviously not a whole ton of it. So, you know, that's just how it goes.
So it's a continually evolving market, really. And the trick is figuring out how to roll with it and use that market to your advantage, which groups like Phish and Galactic and String Cheese Incident are doing.
Yeah, but you know, they're bands that do their thing live, right? That's their creation. Well, let's say you're someone and you're truly a songwriter and you have no interest in playing live. Let's say you're a musician with stage fright. It happens, right? Look at the guy from XTC. What can you do? Well, you can create a social following, right? You can do this online now and you know, create new stuff every day and put it out and create a world for yourself. Not unlike what we do here, but you got to work to do it. And that's the thing. Artists now, it's up to them to make their lives happen. But that also means that somebody, if they find some, you know, if someone who's good at business says, hey, I want to help this particular artist, partner together and do it, there's nothing that says that that's impossible. You know, you craft someone like the labels have always done. I think there's room for the labels to do that, but they can't just say, we're just going to put it out there and the money's going to come from the music being played, this one recording being played over and over and over again. That's not the world we live in today.
All right, so I feel like I am getting a better grasp on just how the music industry is working and changing, which is awesome, because I have a feeling there's a lot of our listeners that are in the same boat, where they're trying to figure out just exactly what this all means for them.
Yeah, and they're going to scream and yell at me, too. I'm totally ready for that.
There's one aspect of the finances on this, by the way, that I think bears addressing. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very quick surface look says, if Apple's not bringing any money in, why should artists get paid? Right? There's no money to share. The counter to that, or the additional piece to that, is that Apple is launching the system in part to foster sales of its hardware. And Apple has priced its hardware so that it actually makes a profit when it sells its hardware. Right. And Apple is...
Fair point, yeah.
Is, in essence, making money. And that could well be why they capitulated on this particular issue.
Yep.
Well, that plus they're getting beat up.
I don't think they were wrong to capitulate, and I don't think it was wrong for the industry to beat them up. In fact, I think this is it's a good thing, right? Because it forces this evolution to happen in sort of in public, right? I mean, this is a good thing.
Yeah, and this was a very public thing because we had Taylor Swift making this a big news thing for more people than it was before. And then the surprise of Apple addressing this through social media and having a senior vice president just hop on Twitter and say, okay, this is what we're doing now. And then acknowledging Taylor Swift.
You know, Apple knows they have a big uphill battle with Apple Music, right? They're late to the game. And frankly, they're not doing anything that's truly revolutionary. So they have to do this 3-month free trial to bring people in. Beats did it through AT&T. Mm-hmm. And I tried it for 3 months and after about a month and a half stopped using it because it was a mess and went back to Spotify. So, which is also a mess, it's just far less of one. So they've got to, you know, they know that they've got some work to do here. And they need everyone on their side that they can get.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. So, Dave, thank you for joining me today.
My pleasure.
Your insight. Brian,
fun stuff.
Yeah. And Brian, thank you for being here with your insight as well.
Yep.
And thank you to Bushel for being our sponsor this week. Their service is really, really cool. So go check it out because it's going to make your life so much easier if you have a handful of Apple devices that you need to manage. Their website is bushel.com. That's BUSHEL.com. Go check them out, please. And listeners, thank you for joining us. And if you have any feedback that you want to give us about today's show or any other, you can do that on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily, or shoot me an email. That address is observations@macobserver.com. We will see everyone again tomorrow.